I call the president. President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare, because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
On that ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like
you. Yo, and welcome back to the Fix Sports Podcast, which is the realest, blackest, and funniest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. I'm coming straight from the south, going down. Audio Shop Talk right in your ear hole, brought to you by yours truly, Joseph Ward, a.k.a. Yep, that's me again in the kitchen cooking breakfast for your moms. Yep, that's me right here on the Freedom Train Network at www.freedomtrainradio.com. Once again, this is the Big Sports Podcast, the number one, putting it out there, the number one most downloaded, number one most listened to sports podcast. And remember, this is meant to be a fun experience talking about sports. It ain't going to get that serious, but it can get serious. It can go either way. I got characters for all my new listeners. Welcome, 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 welcome. We're on a tight time schedule today. Let me stop all this other hustling and bustling. But remember, our website, www.freedomtrainradio.com. We can learn more about this podcast and all the other podcasts on the Freedom Train Network. And this podcast is available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Radio Public, any podcast platform you listen to. This podcast is available, and so are all the other podcasts on the Freedom Train Network. And you can advertise your business on the Fix Sports Podcast and the other podcasts here on the Freedom Train Network. All you got to do is visit our website, www.freedomtrainradio.com, or email us at thank@freedomtrainradio.com. We can get in. So remember that the Fix Sports Podcast is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants. And On the Shoulders of Giants brings you African history at your fingertips, the stories of the unsung heroes through their On the Shoulders of Giants book series, the On the Shoulders of Giants blog, the On the Shoulders of Giants YouTube channel, subscribe, the On the Shoulders of Giants African History Curriculum app, which is available on the website at www.ontheshoulders1.com, the On the Shoulders of Giants online course, which is available on Patreon at patreon.com/OTSOG, the On the Shoulders of Giants nonprofit organization, as well as face-to-face or virtual classes. Right now, of course, virtual educational sessions, keynote sessions, lectures, whatever you need from On the Shoulders of Giants. The information can be accessed through a smartphone, smart TV, smart board, tablet, computer, whatever you need, whatever medium you have, the information can be accessed. Once again, the website is www.ontheshouldersone.com. And speaking of Patreon, make sure you support the Fix Sports Podcast on Patreon at patreon.com/TheFix, and all the money that you guys donate to me will go to helping improve this platform so I can be a better resource to my community. All right, so what we talking about today, Willie? We won't have no HBCU spotlight, but we damn sure. Damn sure got that HBCU news. So ex-Southern Band director Nathan Hamer accepts a federal plea deal. Nate, what you did? A wide receiver is transferring from Auburn to Southern University. All right. Exit us. Oh, yeah. Movement of choppy people. A group of softball players decided to walk off their team after their general manager tweeted about the national anthem, something against Black Lives Matter and everything that's going on. So the softball team decided to shoot birds and go on about their business. I'm sure y'all heard about it, but I didn't have a chance to talk about it. But your boy Cam Newton is now a New England Patriot, so we're going to get into that. These college football schedules. So if we're going to have football, I still don't think so. But if fall sports happen, a lot of colleges and schools are saying they want only conference-only schedules. So we're going to read into that. I know the Big Ten, the ACC, and the Pac-12 talked about conference-only schedules, and we're going to talk about how that affects everything else. The NBA season is restarting very, very soon, in a couple of days, maybe July 30th. Okay, yeah, restart date of July 30th, so that's going to happen. Patrick Mahomes got paid. We'll talk about that. And DeSean Jackson got in trouble this past week for retweeting something he didn't understand. The message was deemed as anti-Semitic, but I'm going to give you my opinion on it. And the weekly rant is going to the co-owner of the Atlanta Dream of the WNBA, Senator Kelly Loeffler, who doubles down on Black Lives Matter stance, says that no one asks for politics in sports, and asking that the WNBA disassociate its Black Lives Matter, whatever that NBA doing, saying she don't want that for her team. So, hey, whatever. But HBCU news time. Ooh. Yeah. Whenever it goes. Alright, so Nathan Hamer, the ex-band director for Southern, the man who once directed one of the top bands in the Lizanne, is facing a long prison sentence. What you did, Nate? Nate, dog, what you did? The embattled former band director of Southern University's fame, Human Jukebox, is facing up to 10 years in federal prison and a fine of up to $250,000. Former SU band director Nathan Hamer will plead guilty to the federal charge, according to WBRZ in Baton Rouge. Hamer was hit with the federal charges for embezzling $30,000 during his time as the Human Jukebox band director. So, Nathan Hamer is accused of submitting fraudulent invoices to the school and taking reimbursements for them. Still an ad boy. The news comes approximately 2 years after Hamer was removed from his position after nearly $300,000 went unaccounted for during his watch. Nate, dog, you tripping. Nate, dog. So he's facing up to 10 years in prison and a fine of up to $250,000 for stealing $30,000 and $300,000 going missing under his watch. Nathan Hamer, you need your ass whooped for that. Bruh, this money for the kids, bruh. This money is for the children. You get your salary and everything that go for you, Nate, and you decided, I'm still from the kids. I'm going to be the band director. That's still from the kids. Nate, you need your ass whooped, and you need to not ever be able to be in charge of money or children again, because you can't be trusted, B. See, that's the thing I don't understand about a lot of these people in these positions, because that is a reputation that HBCUs have. A lot of people don't want to go to HBCUs because the stories that they've been told about money being stolen or students not getting their money. Now, my personal experience at an HBCU, money was taken at the HBCU that I was there at the time. May have had a couple people, but I personally never had issues with getting my money. I was on top of my stuff. I never had those issues. But that's my personal experience. I know plenty of people who had experiences with money, who were affected by money being stolen. That has happened. But that's not the norm at HBCU. Money is stolen at all colleges, all universities. Money is stolen. But at HBCUs, it's broadcast a bit more. But Nathan, you fucking up, bro. We can't be doing that to our own people for selfish reasons. So Nathan, hey man, you got to get what you got to get, bro. You facing 10 and $250,000 fine. Now, I will say that Nathan will have white counterparts who've done worse, who get less. I will say that. That's why we got to keep our goddamn nose clean. The system ain't built for us. Nate, you deserve to be punished, but I don't think you should be punished more severely than any white person who's done that, who maybe have gotten less. But you definitely deserve to be punished for that shit. That's that bullshit that you have to own, Nate. Nate, though. Man, come on, man. You're in a good position. That's the band I read, the Human Jukebox. And you out there stealing money. Up to $300,000 when unaccounted for under his watch. You's a bitch, Nate. You tripping. Nate, you tripping, cuz. So that's what happened at Southern University. He accepts the plea deal, but in accepting that, he could face up to 10 years and a fine of up to $250,000 for personally stealing $30,000, which is boo boo, and $300,000 going unaccounted for under his watch. Nate, sit your dumb ass down and chill out, bro. Chill out. There's other ways to get money, bro. Other ways to get money. But Nate sat to steal. Come on, Nate. All right, so moving on in our HBCU news, right? A wide receiver is transferring from Auburn and going to Southern, right? So Southern just picked up a former SEC player to help in its passing game in Marquise McClain. Alcorn State won't be the only SWAT team trotting out a new weapon that started out in the SEC. Former Auburn wide receiver Marquise McClain has announced that he will be continuing his academic and athletic career at Southern University. This is a tweet from him. It says, "This was a pretty tough transition, but I'm blessed to have an opportunity to find a new home at Southern. I got something to prove." So he is 6'2", 240 pounds. He's a junior from Crestview, Florida. Okay, Florida, stand up. He played in 10 games last season for Auburn. He caught just one pass for 37 yards, but the former three-star wideout should see plenty of more balls in Baton Rouge. Pause. McClain entered the transfer portal in December of 2019, his signing comes roughly a month after former Vanderbilt wideout C.J. Bowler joined Alcorn State. Southern has had success with former SEC wide receivers, most notably Michael Haynes, who started his career at LSU before becoming a legend at Southern University. So it has happened before. Going to an HBCU team does not mean you cannot make it to the league. Jerry Rice, Terrell Owens, so Earl Holmes, Nate Newton, Bob Hayes, Walter Payton, we could be here all day. Deacon Jones, we could be here all day. Shannon Sharp, naming people who went to HBCUs who had Hall of Fame NFL careers. Ken Riley Sr., fifth on the all-time interception list. So just remember that, man. Going to an HBCU doesn't mean you won't make it to the league. Just more talent need to come to the HBCUs. I understand why people go into white schools, but I want everybody to come to the HBCU. So that there is our HBCU HBCU news segment. I ain't got no spotlights. I'm gonna do it for my news. Oh yeah, and justice for Breonna Taylor. They still haven't arrested the cops. the former cops, the scumbags who killed Breonna Taylor. Justice for all the black people who have, who their killers have not been prosecuted. All right? So, scrapyard dog softball players walk out after GM's tweet about national anthem. Members of the scrapyard dog professional softball team walked out in mass after Monday's, after whatever Monday's opening game of a series with the USSSA Pride, many vowing they would never play for the team after a since-deleted tweet from the general manager, Connie May. Connie, but you tweeted, Connie. The tweet, which multiple players said may acknowledge posting during the game, included a photo of Scrapyard Dogs players standing during the national anthem and tagged President Donald Trump's Twitter handle with a message that included words, "Everyone respecting the flag." The tweet came during what was supposed to be the first of seven games between teams that left National Pro Fast Pitch for independent status. Texas-based Scrapyard after a 2017 NPF season and Florida-based Pride after 2019 season. I have no idea what the fuck that means. Okay? So Monday was supposed to be at least a cathartic return for softball after the coronavirus pandemic wiped out first the Women's College World Series and then the 2020 Olympics. Some of the best players in the world gathered for softball's high-level return. Scrapyard's roster alone featured more than half of the U.S. team that was supposed to compete in the Tokyo Olympics. The night instead ended with anger, frustration, and a country confronting its own history of racial injustice in a sport that remains overwhelmingly white. President Trump has repeatedly voiced his objections to athletes peacefully protesting police brutality and racial injustice by kneeling during the national anthem, most recently when the U.S. soccer reversed and apologized for policy prohibiting such expression. So Scrapyard Dogs is a team comprised of basically the best women's fast pitch softball players in the United States. And the coach decided that she wanted to tweet a picture of the team standing during the national anthem and tagged Donald Trump and said, "We respect the flag." And the players like, "Hold up, bitch. Hold up, Connie." I think that's, yeah, Connie May. "Hold up, Connie May. Don't speak for us. Second of all, Connie, we don't support what you're speaking for, what you're talking about. So sit your dumb ass down, Connie, because we don't rock with that. We don't get down like that, Connie. What is you talking about, Connie? Connie. Come on, man." And so, if you post something anywhere on social media and you got to go back and delete it, you probably shouldn't have posted it. You probably shouldn't have posted it. And we're going to talk about the social media stuff you probably should and shouldn't post very, very soon. But these scrapyard dogs is like, "Hey, man, Connie out here tripping, cuz. Connie's going to speak for us and tell us and try to be like, we respect the flag." And everybody know that kneeling ain't got nothing to do with being disrespectful to the flag of the United States. And also the flag of the United States, everybody don't feel the same about the flag. Black people have actually had more oppression under the American flag than we have had under the Confederate flag. But we've been oppressed under both flags. So, I mean, we don't feel no reverence to either flag. You got to get that through your heads, though, man. But the softball team said, "All right, Connie, but that's how you feel, we quit." So they walked off. They quit. And so Connie going to go out there around the bases her damn self and hitting balls and fielding balls her damn self, Connie in trouble. So they might end up getting rid of Connie. What was the lessons learned? Connie, shut your dumb ass up. If you disagree with it, cool. Look, man, nobody's saying you have to agree with the protest. Nobody say you got to be down with anything that's about changing oppression in America. All we saying is, if you don't get down, you're going to lay down. That is what we saying, though. I ain't saying you got to get down, but if you don't get down, you're going to lay down. Get down or lay down. State property. So, yeah, Connie in trouble. Because, like I said, unless Connie going to go out there and play her damn self, or they're going to get other people. But, yeah, so I'm trying to see what they're doing with Connie. If Connie has been dismissed or not. I'm not seeing where they said they're doing anything with Connie, but I know they walked off the team. They walked off. They said, forget this. We ain't doing this. We ain't rocking with Connie. Because she's a dumbass. So, I don't know. It's not saying whether they retain Connie or not, but we know Connie ain't got no damn team. So, Connie. Go to hell, Connie. All right, let's move on a bit. Well, I'm time crunch, so I'm going to move a bit fast this episode. Ain't trying to skip over stuff, but I'm going to move a bit fast because I got things to do now. I'm a bit behind. So, Cam Newton is a New England Patriot. About time. We've been talking about this. About time. So, Cam Newton has agreed to a one-year deal with the New England Patriots, according to Adam Schefter and Chris Mortensen. It's an incentive-laden deal worth a maximum of $7.5 million, vastly underpaid for Cam. Per NFL Network's Ian Rappaport, Newton's deal does not include a provision preventing New England from applying a 2021 franchise tag on the former league MVP, according to CBS. Former insider Jason LaConfona on Wednesday, LaConfona reported that Newton's base salary for the 2020 season is $1 million basically, with a $550,000 guarantee at signing. Newton can make up to $6.45 million more in incentives per game roster bonuses. Newton, who was released, so he got to perform. If basically what's that saying? Newton has to perform if he want to get the full $7.5 million value of the contract. Then he has to perform and meet certain benchmarks, and if he doesn't, then he don't get all that money. Newton, who was released by the Carolina Panthers back in March 24th, will join the Patriots quarterback room that currently has Jarrett Stidham, Brian Hoyer, Brian Lewerke, and Jamar Smith, all of them who pretty much probably shouldn't be playing. So the Patriots did not draft the quarterback despite losing Hall of Fame Tom Brady. And the Patriots should have been signed Cam Newton. I don't know what they was waiting on. We all knew that was the best fit for both sides, but I don't know. They waited till just now to do this shit. Earlier this month, it was reported that Newton and the Patriots had some contact shortly after Newton became a free agent. And that was on May 7th that they said that they talked about that. And so it didn't take until like late June, early July for Newton to get picked. So that drastically increases the Patriots' chances of winning the division. I do feel like the Patriots will win the division. That boosts them up as far as AFC contenders for the crown. Would that make them better than, like, the Texans or the Ravens or the Chiefs? I don't know. The Patriots team overall wasn't that good. Their offense was not good at all. Tom Brady didn't seem the same, but my question is, was that because of the lack of talent, or is Tom Brady actually falling off? So we are going to find out this year, but the Patriots' receiving core was trash, tight ends was trash, running game subpar, offensive line subpar, quarterbacking was not. It was not great. The defense let them down against the Titans. Even though defense had good numbers, when it came down, they let them down against the Titans. The team is drastically better than they would have been with Jarrett Stidham, but I'm not saying Cam Newton puts them as Super Bowl contenders, but Cam Newton does put them as a playoff team. They're drastically better. I wasn't sure if they would win their division without Cam. With Cam, I'm pretty sure they'll win the division. The Dolphins have to grow into what they got. They just got Tua, and, you know, Tua kind of in the same position as Cam with injuries, but Tua is brand new rookie, so we're going to see how that goes. The Bills are their biggest contender. With Josh Allen, and the Bills had a real good team last year. They had a real good defense. They just wasn't ready. I think the Bills would be even better this year. I think they got Stephon Diggs, I believe. So the Jets, who knows? The Jets always have pieces, but the whole team, who knows? So if the Patriots don't win the AFC East, I expect the Bills to. The Bills are a solid team. So, Yeah, I don't see a reason for Cam not to be on the field. I'm gonna just say that Cam should be on the field. That shouldn't be a reason that Cam is not on the field. If Cam ain't on the field, I don't know what to tell people. But yeah, so that's the thing going on with Cam Newton and the New England Patriots. Cam Newton's not New England Patriots. He's getting paid like around one mil this year. That's the base salary. With incentives, he could make up $7.5 million on his contract. Either way, it's vastly underpaid. This is a 1 year thing. We're gonna see how this. We're going to see how Cam performs. We're going to see how the Patriots perform. We're going to see how this leads to a new contract or something new happening with Cam in the future, because he's grossly underpaid. Grossly, grossly underpaid. You got trash-ass quarterbacks who are on his roster, on the same team as him, and other rosters who are not going to sniff the field, who are getting paid more. Black quarterbacks are not getting the fair shake that white quarterbacks are getting. Right? A white quarterback can be a great underachiever, and you know he get paid. Sam Bradford, a great example. Stayed hurt. They talk about Cam injuries. Sam Bradford stayed hurt. His whole career was underperforming, and Sam Bradford stayed getting paid. So I want to hear black quarterbacks don't get the same shape. Look at Jameis Winston. Jameis ain't trash. Let's be real. Jameis ain't trash. Jameis got to stop throwing them goddamn interceptions. But, you know, we rooting for you, Cam. We damn sure rooting for you, Cam. We rooting for you right here on the Fix Sports Podcast, Young Cam Newton. We got to keep this thing moving. So, college football. So, a lot of people are expecting fall sports to be around. I do expect some sports to be around. Football is the one sport that I'm not necessarily expecting to be around. I just don't see how you can make that happen. But if it happens, a lot of conferences, or I ain't going to say a lot, but we've heard conferences who've canceled all fall sports. There have been conferences who now are saying we're going only conference only for the fall. So the Big Ten, the Big 12, and the ACC, I believe, are the three conferences that said that it will go off conference only. I know somebody was saying, well, what would that do for Notre Dame? But I'm guessing Notre Dame would play an ACC schedule, since Notre Dame is in the ACC and all other sports, not necessarily football. But for this, if they want to play, I'm guessing they will fall in and become an ACC team. But let's read. So the Big Ten made a difficult decision Thursday when it announced that it would play a conference-only schedule in 2020. And I'm guessing there will be no national champion this year if they play only conference schedules, unless they do a playoff of all the teams who won their conferences. So if it plays the season at all amid the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, needless to say, that decision was reverberated throughout the Power Five and the FBS as a whole, with the Pac-12 following suit on Friday and announcing it will only play league games this season. So not only have 42 Big Ten non-conference games now been canceled, other major conferences are now facing the same decision the Big Ten made. So where do the rest of the Power Five conferences stand? And also, remember, that's going to affect those money games. So like FAMU playing whoever, Michigan or Southern or whatever, these lower-level teams playing these top-level teams, these money games not going to happen. So people are going to be missing money. So COVID-19 is messing up a whole lot of stuff, you heard me? So following a call with FBS commissioners that concluded Friday morning, let's take a look at what we now know as the leagues figure out exactly what they're going to do this season. The SEC has no comment on its future plans when reached by SEC Sports. Missouri Athletic Director Jim Sterk did tell reporters Thursday that a potential conference on the schedule could be decided upon by late July. So the ACC is considering a conference game only schedule, according to CBS Sports. The Big 12 has not made an announcement, but it plans to appear to be taking a conference only approach. So that's what we know so far. So the Big 12, the ACC, the Big 10, the SEC hasn't said anything. So we got Pac-12. Conference only, Big Ten conference only, ACC conference only. They're like Big Ten gonna be conference only. SEC is gonna conform. SEC is gonna go conference only. Of course, they haven't made a decision now. They haven't said anything. But I do believe four-fall sports for all these conferences moving forward, they will be conference only. Football is still the one sport for me that the question, football, wrestling, hockey, lacrosse, those sports where you have to get up close and physical. Basketball can be contained easier than a lot of these other sports. Football is going to be the hardest sport to put people in a bubble. It's hard to put people in a bubble in a conference. Like the NBA, what's unique about the NBA using this bubble is you're at a point in the season where, okay, we only have 22 teams. We could put these 22 teams in this space and keep them in this space for 2 months rather than we're taking, let's say each conference has 12 teams. So you got the Power Five plus, let's say, add 5 other conferences, 10 conferences, 12 teams per conference, all the players. It's just too much. I don't see how it happens. And plus, you're just talking about D1, then you got D2, you got all these other levels and stuff. It's going to be difficult to make this thing happen. So we're going to keep our eye on it, though. But for now, schools are saying if we do play, we're going conference only. Now, of course, we know they want to play because they want that money. They want that money because if you don't play, you don't make no money. No TV money, none of that other revenue going to be coming in if your ass don't play. Right. So speaking of the NBA and their bubble, right? So July 30th is seen to be the target restart date for the NBA. So the 2019-2020 NBA season went on a hiatus on March 11th because of Rudy Gobert contracted coronavirus and it spread to other teammates and spread around the league and just coronavirus period. So on June 4th, the NBA's Board of Governors approved a competitive format for the comeback of the season with 22 teams returning to play at a start date of July 30th. On June 26th, the NBA and National Basketball Players Association finalized a comprehensive plan for a July 30th restart for the 2019-2020 season, which includes stringent health and safety protocols, a single-site campus at Walt Disney, I just got to be talking about this, and the goal of taking collective action to combat systematic racism and promote social justice, which they are not. They're just doing symbolic things to try to make themselves and others feel good. They're not taking the actual approach to combat white supremacy racism, which would be to say, to challenge to say we're not doing this, but also the giving up and the redistribution of power and resources and challenging as a league, say, hey, this can't happen, this can't happen, this can't happen, because if these things happen, then we won't do this, 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 and that, and that, and that. Just saying Black Lives Matter and allowing people to protest, and that doesn't change or challenge white supremacy. It just makes white supremacy go about things a bit different. In anticipation of the comeback of the NBA, here are some of the common questions and answers about the season. So a question is, when does the season come back? July 30th. Which teams will be playing? So once again, I gave you all before, but here I'm going to run down the teams again. So for the East, got the Bucks, the Raptors, the Celtics, the Heat, the Pacers, 76ers, Nets, Magic, and Wizards. For the West, the Lakers, Clippers, Nuggets, Jazz, Thunder, Rockets, Mavericks, Grizzlies, Trailblazers, Pelicans, Kings, Spurs, and Suns. So the 8 games remaining games, each returning team will play before playoffs begin. The games were selected from a team's remaining regular season matchups. So the question is, will they be scrimmage games? There will be 3 inter-squad scrimmages from July 22nd to July 28th in final preparation for the season. The NBA and Disney has reached an agreement to have games played at the ESPN Wide World Sports Complex at Walt Disney World Resort near Orlando, Florida. The venues for all games will be inside the arena field house. So the NBA is coming back July 30th, 22 teams. Once again, those teams are Suns, Spurs, Kings, Pelicans, Blazers, Grizzlies, Mavericks, Rockets, Thunder, Jazz, Nuggets, Clippers, Lakers for the West, Wizards, Magic, Nets, 76ers, Pacers, Heat, Celtics, Raptors, Bucks for the East. July 30th is coming back. It's happening in the bubble. You're going to see what we see. And there are a number of players who will not be joining their teams because of concerns with COVID. 19, Avery Bradley is one of the most prominent. He has a child with specific conditions, which it would not be safe or smart for him to play and maybe be exposed to COVID and bring it home, and his son or whoever the child is with immune issues could be affected. So, run time for Avery Bradley. My heart goes out, sending good vibes out to everybody who have been affected by COVID and all the family members who have been affected by COVID. We are praying for you from the Freedom Train Network. So, that boy Pat Mahomes got paid. Patrick Mahomes, boy. Patrick, everybody homeboy now, because he got paid $503 million, and he still gave the Chiefs a discount, you heard me? Because with the new salary cap and stuff coming up, Patrick could have got paid more. So the NFL offseason has been unprecedented in many ways due to COVID-19, of course, but also as it has been different when it comes to contract extensions. Earlier this week, the Kansas City Chiefs signed Patrick Mahomes to a 10-year deal that's worth $477 million. That can go up to $503 million with a $141 million injury guarantee. So CBS Sports, and he should have got the whole thing guaranteed. He should have got the whole contract guaranteed. CBS Sports insider Jason LaConfora reported Mahomes' 10-year extension would be guided by a mechanism that ensures the quarterback's annual salary never drops below certain cap thresholds. In other words, it will always be above a certain percentage of the NFL salary cap. So he always going to be one of the highest paid people in the NFL, basically what they're saying. But think about this. It's going to be people coming back behind Patrick Mahomes getting paid more when this new salary cap stuff come out. So the former number 10 pick and has quite literally taken over the NFL in the span of two seasons and capped his 2019 campaign with the NFL, with Super Bowl win as well as Super Bowl MVP. He is tied to the Chiefs for what could be the next 12 years, while Mahomes has now signed a contract containing the money he deserves. With this new deal come more restrictions about what he can and cannot do in his spare time. During a recent interview with 610 Sports, Mahomes spoke about some of those physical activity prohibitions included in his new contract. I still don't think I'm allowed to play basketball, Mahomes said. I'm sure baseball is not going to be allowed as well. I know there's a lot of them that have, like, everything from jet skiing to I don't know what all things are. I read a lot of them. It's pretty much every physical activity you could possibly do. I'll probably be sticking with football and video games for now. Yeah. Don't want the boys having no other physical activities. If we're going to pay you up to $503 million, boy, you can't do nothing but play football under our restrictions. We're paying you too much money. You can't get hurt. If you get hurt, we invested too much money in you. All our ass getting fired. So sticking to football is probably a good thing for the face of the Chiefs franchise. Kansas City could be on the verge of a dynasty, and it would be incredibly unfortunate if that dynasty was ruined by injuries or anything else that happened. So Mahomes appears fine with these restrictions. So contract up to $503 million could be. It could reach up to $503 million. So right now it's at $477. Like I said, he gave them a discount because in a couple of years, the new salary cap is going to be coming out, and it's going to allow players to get paid more money. And he set the market, but the market is going to be reset in a couple years. So look for that. Look for somebody who is not Patrick Mahomes, who may not be as accomplished as Patrick Mahomes, to get paid more than Patrick Mahomes, because a new benchmark has been set, but new money is going to become available. But if I ever have a son and he can throw, it's going to die. All right, so let's get to a little controversy. We're doing good on time, too. We're doing good on time. Let's get to a little controversy. I hope I'm not going too fast. If I'm going too fast, I apologize. I just got a late start, and I'm on a time schedule today, and I got to make sure I get everything in, but I want to make sure that I give you, I'm going to give you my all in this podcast. I know. So, last week, Deshaun Jackson got in trouble for reposting a Hebrew Israelite message about the black Hebrews being the real Jews, the real Hebrews, and the message was deemed as anti-Semitic, and he also caught some backlash for supporting Louis Farrakhan, which I don't I don't understand. A lot of people say Louis Farrakhan is anti-Semitic. He say a lot of things. Louis Farrakhan say a lot of things that Jews may not like, but Louis Farrakhan hasn't taken action against anyone. So some of his rhetoric can be deemed as not in favor of Jews, of the Jewish community, but I wouldn't call Farrakhan anti-Semitic. I would never denounce Farrakhan. I don't agree with a lot of things Farrakhan say, but I would never denounce him, and I would never try to talk bad about Farrakhan's name anywhere in public or anything like that. I would say that. But so I read, so DeSean Jackson, basically, he got fined. They didn't say how much he got fined. He ended up being fined by the Eagles. And I saw somewhere where Tariq Nasheed was saying that the Eagles didn't fine Riley Cooper for saying the N-word. I believe the Eagles did fine him, and I did a lot of research yesterday to see about the Eagles fining him, and a lot of the articles said that they did fine him. I didn't find how much he was fined, but I can't remember the whole situation with Riley Cooper about the fining aspect of it. But so DeSean Jackson got in trouble for retweeting something, I mean for reposting something on Instagram, that basically the message was saying that the black people in America, the black Jews are the real Jews, and the white Jews were oppressing the black Jews, killing them, keeping them down. Now, that's not a lie. DeSean Jackson did not retweet a lie. The part that really got people going is when it said from Hitler. So turns out the message was not the excerpt was not from Hitler, was not a Hitler quote, but that was the original reaction, was it was from Hitler. We should all know anything that comes from Hitler is going to have a negative reaction, even though I try to remind people, Adolf Hitler, because I was having a conversation with my man's E, and he was saying, you know, dismiss everything Hitler said, and I do get it, I get it, even though I disagree. I do disagree you dismiss everything Hitler said, and I do get it that dismiss stuff that Hitler said because of how it was used, but then we have to, if we're going to keep that same energy, we have to dismiss Christian doctrine because how it was used to oppress and, you know, wipe out groups of people. We have to dismiss everything George Washington said. We have to dismiss everything Thomas Jefferson said. We have to dismiss everything Alexander Jackson said. Who the hell is Alexander Jackson? I mean, you know, them damn presidents. We have to dismiss that. We have to keep that same energy that we have for Hitler for everybody. Alexander is no longer great. Alexander was ruling the world trying to conquer and oppress people. Hitler was a fuck boy. But all the rest of them was too. That's just all I'm saying. So I get it with the rhetoric, anything attached to Hitler. So DeSean Jackson, he may be a part of the Hebrew Israelite camp, whatever, but the message was not a lie. The original Jews are, the original Hebrews are black people. Black Hebrews have been oppressed by white Hebrews, white Jews. They have been oppressed. They have been killed. They have been oppressed. That is true. That is true. That has happened. The Jewish slave trade, the African people, all that is true. So some of the information in it was not a lie. But the whole message, basically DeSean Jackson said he reposted that, but his attempt was to put out a message to black people about empowerment, economic empowerment, self-empowerment for black people. But he fucking missed the whole mark by reposting something about black people being original Hebrew Israelites. And me, so what gets me is when they say that black people in America are the original Hebrew Israelites, and I'm like, we don't have any real proof to prove that. We don't have any genetic, biological, historical, familial proof to prove that. That's just something that people are saying, that people say the Bible. DeSean Jackson got in trouble and he got fined. I'm not mad at him for getting in trouble, getting fined, because DeSean Jackson tweeted, reposted some shit that he didn't know about, he can't speak on, he couldn't explain, and it wasn't even the fucking message he was trying to display. And now he's seen as anti-Semitic, and now he's going to become the bitch of the owners of the Philadelphia Eagles. They're going to Michael Vick him, rake him over the coals, and make him apologize and be sorry for the rest of his life. For the rest of the time he's in the public, they're going to make him be sorry for this. And a lot of people are putting this on the same level of what Drew Brees is doing, and it's not the same as what Drew Brees is doing. The message was not a lie. There are a lot of people, the white Jews in America have a lot of power. So if they say it's anti-Semitic, it's going to be anti-Semitic because they're organized to have a lot of power. It was a stupid move by DeSean Jackson. It was a stupid move. He shouldn't have reposted that. Never repost stuff or post anything that you can't explain, you don't understand, especially if that's not your real message, your intent of the message. If your intent is to call for unity and for black people to work together, fucking just post that shit, DeSean. Come on, man. DeSean, you were this close to becoming my weekly rant till I got this other rant, because it was just stupid on your part because you left yourself vulnerable and you're reposting the message that has truth in it, but you can't explain it, and it's not even what you're trying to say. And when you posted it, it says from Hitler, which you know gonna cause an emotional response. Hitler was a fucked up person. Hitler did some fucked up shit. So your attempt was to spread information through a very volatile medium. That wasn't smart. And now you are going to get Michael Vick. Not meaning that you're going to lose your career, but look how people still treat Michael Vick. Michael Vick is still apologizing for dog fighting. White people not apologizing for actually killing black people. But Michael Vick is apologizing for dog fighting, and DeSean Jackson will spend the rest of his time in the public spotlight apologizing for this stupid move he made. So, DeSean, I hope you learned a lot from this. I hope you learned a lot from this. And the craziest part is you know you're in the NFL, you know your owner's Jewish, and you still post it. Even though I understand it has truth in it, but you can't explain it. And it came off as anti-Semitic, and that's how they looked at it. That's how they said it. They got the power to say it, so it's anti-Semitic. Now, guess what? You were paying for it. So there it is. It's time for my weekly rant, and it's going to be aimed at Senator Kelly Loeffler, who's the co-owner of the Atlanta Dream, who said, I got locked out of that Black Lives Matter stuff on my basketball team. Kelly, you might just become a new character. Buford is right. No Black Lives Matter stuff on this basketball team. Basketball, sports, and politics do not meet. Cause I'm Kelly Loeffler, and I'm stupid. Kelly, get off that molly, allegedly. Shut your dumb ass up, Kelly. So Senator Kelly Loeffler doubles down on her stance against the Black Lives Matter moment. The NBA Players Association is meeting with the league to discuss her role going forward as co-owner of the Atlanta Dream. Are they trying to make her sell this motherfucking team? Get out of here, Kelly. Get out of here, Kelly. Because you trying to support that white supremacy shit. Somebody outside cutting grass. So to Loeffler, the simple answer is she says she won't be stepping down. So Loeffler said, y'all ain't going to make me stop being a co-owner of this team. Racism is real. I support it. I promote it. And I stand behind it. And that Black Lives Matter stuff do not belong on this Atlanta Dream team in this black city with all these black players. We will not be with that Black Lives Matter stuff. No, 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 no. Kelly, Kelly, Kelly. You're going to lose this one. Why? Because it's the NBA. If you was NFL, you have a better stance. This is NBA. Sit your dumb ass down, because you're going to lose this. Black Lives Matter messages will be spread, will be doing the game, players, everybody doing your team, and your air probably going to most likely sell that team. Why? Because this is WNBA, which is a subsidiary of the NBA, so you're going to lose this one. So, Steph's publishing a letter to WNBA Commissioner Kathleen Engelbert on Tuesday denouncing the league's plan to dedicate its season to social justice. Loeffler has made the media rounds to promote her message ahead of contentious special of a contentious special edition. She addressed the local Georgia media on Wednesday, saying she sees politics coming to sports and alleging she is being canceled. Yeah, she definitely being canceled. That's not alleged. That's fact. Her ass being canceled. Allegedly, she's smart. Realistically, she's dumbass, right? What I see is politics coming into sports. No one has asked politics to come into sports. Sports are about unifying people. People from all walks of life, from all political views, should be welcome in sports. And to cancel someone because they want to protect innocent life, because they are fighting for the unborn, because they support the Second Amendment, because I support the constitutional rights, have been given to us by God. Why would that not fit as part of American sports culture? That should be a tenet of sports. It is to welcome all views. Right. So if a tenet of sports is to welcome all views, you're not even listening to yourself. That's how fucking stupid you are. If a tenet of sports is to welcome all people from all walks of life, all views, and to be a place where people can come together and fight racism, then you should have no problem with these sentimental things that the WNBA has proposed. It shouldn't be difficult. There should be no pushback or any backlash from you if you're trying to protect innocent lives, protect people, help the unborn. Who are you talking about? Because black people are being unjustly killed by police officers and radical fake vigilante white people, and a lot of things aren't happening. And it's been happening in America. It's the history of America. So what the fuck are you talking about? What are you talking about? Kelly, the WNBA league made up of 8% black women announced Monday it would dedicate the season to social justice, an issue its players care deeply about. Some players have stepped away from playing to address racial injustice and have brought the issue to the national attention in past years. Loeffler, who was appointed to her seat by Governor Brian Kemp last year, took issue with this. She wrote, supporting a particular political agenda undermines the potential of the sport and sends a message of exclusion. In recent weeks, she had said that black protesters in Atlanta were practicing mob rule, which began calls for her oust as an owner. Get out of there, man. People are protesting and everything. We know who the looters are. We know who the rioters are. We know who the protesters are. You know, there's a stark difference between the protesters and the looters and the rioters. We know why people are protesting. The same continued injustices that have been going on in America are still going on. Still to this day, unjust killing by the slave patrol, a.k.a. the police department. And Kelly Loeffler, you will lose this one. Stupid white woman, you will lose this one. Those the messages against police brutality, messages in support of the black community, all those messages will be there. Your players gonna have them, the team gonna have them, the league gonna have them, and you most likely may give up your. You might most likely may not be the owner of the Atlanta Dream moving forward. So you might as well get out with nothing. Sit your dumb ass down because you stupid for this, and your logic don't even make sense. You're not even listening to what you say. You're saying you want to create space where justice and equality and all these things can exist, but you don't want that space to happen. In reality, you want to talk about the space happening, but the space not actually happening because right now the issue is police brutality in America. It's always been the issue. Black people have been oppressed. That's the biggest issue. That's the elephant in the room. Yes, other issues on the table, but the biggest is racism, white supremacy. But you don't want to deal with it. You want to keep it going. Why? Because it seems like you are suspected white supremacists, Kelly. So guess what? If you get cancer, your dumb ass earned all the cancellation that you get. So sit your dumb ass down, Kelly Loeffler, and you will lose this one because you stupid. You're not even listening to the dumb shit you saying, Kelly. Two fingers in the air because your ass going to be up out of there. Crazy. Hey, man, that's funny, man. That's funny. Kelly! Go to hell, Kelly. Go straight to hell, Kelly, because your ass going to lose this one. Hey, man. So my time has run out. I'm a little bit over. My time has run out, and it is time for me to get up out of here. I am Joseph Ward, the host of the Fix Sports Podcast. Today was a bit fast-paced. I apologize. I'm on a time schedule, but I did want to make sure I get it in. Kelly Loeffler, you stupid as hell. Deshaun Jackson, I hope you learn from your mistakes. And so on. www.freedomtrainradio.com is the website. Patreon.com/TheFix, where you can support your homeboy. And I appreciate each and every one of you all for tuning in and listening to this. Remember, listen, tell somebody, download these episodes and spread it on, spread the word, Fix Sports Podcast, man. Two fingers, I'm about to hit you, man. Really going down.
I am the greatest.
I call the president.
President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare, because we are killing the Patriots.
So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back, looks up, you can put it on the board, yes! Back to back, Jack! And it is 4-1.
Jackson has it, the All-American tight end is going in, and Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out, I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm Snare Floyd. There's no one that can